The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 4, Scene 18. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
I'm Rich Grissett with Style Weekly.
Susie Havenstock.
Julinda Lewis with RVA Art Review.
And we're going to talk about three shows today. The first is Gloria, which is a co-production of Cadence Theatre and Virginia Rep at the Theatre Gym through June 2nd. This is a lively look at career frustrations and office politics at a publishing firm, but it turns dark after a turning point event. And we don't want to spoil what that is, but what'd y'all think of the show?
I thought it was absolutely masterful. I thought it was one of those instances where the production meets an excellent script. I have a quibble or two, but for the most part, I thought it was an excellent show. Julinda, what did you think?
I agree. I thought it was very well done. I thought there was a great cast.
Excellent.
Some people that are not so familiar, and everybody worked really well together.
And Michelle Forbes, who's done a number of shows in town. She's always good. She was kind of great as I called her the caffeinated millennial motor mouth in this. And then Happy Mahaney, who's always kind of interesting. I said he had an idiosyncratic physicality because he was kind of
weird. The only part that I kind of really like. He was too cartoony
for me.
Yeah. And you know, like he's an excellent actor. I've seen him in other things I've liked very, very much. And he was good in this, in that performance. I just don't think it fit what everyone else was doing.
That's a good point, yeah.
But everyone else I thought was great. Matt Polson as Dean. He's a guy with aspirations, and I won't give too much away. This is a really hard play to talk about something happens.
It changes everything in the second act. So everybody gets, Michelle is different, Matt is different, everybody has a different, kind of a different character. And then people do play double roles, so people don't get
confused.
And then
I really like that new guy, Joel Asher,
who played
several roles. I thought he was really interesting.
I thought Jesse Jennison was also excellent.
She played multiple roles.
The thing about this show is it's a show about trauma and collective trauma and how it like kind of impacts us all and who gets to own the trauma and, you know, people who try to profit off of it. And it kind of blew my mind. I thought it was such a smart script and just an excellent production.
I thought it lost a little bit of the impact in the second act. I thought there was a little bit too much of the social commentary and drawing conclusions as opposed to the drama that had been created already. I mean, it was still involving. Speaking of involving, I just want to shout out to Anna Seneschal Johnson, who is the artistic director of Cadence and also directed this. And as usual, her style, I call it kind of quiet. You don't see directorial flourishes from her, but you can feel a very solid cast and very solid staging without being showy.
Jerry, what you said, though, about not having the drama of the first act, it'd be hard to compete with the drama
of the first act.
So I thought that the second act was kind of more of an explicatory, if that's a word.
Right. That's what I said. It's that idea of kind of drawing to conclusions as opposed to really creating any more drama.
And giving you more insights into what those characters were like.
Right.
I was just going to give Rich Mason's set a shout out. At least the background works for three different scenes. It all works very well. It does seem like workplaces.
We've all been in those in lofts. It's all bricks, exposed bricks.
Absolutely.
And those translucent windows. And I will have to say, jumping back to Anna real quickly, the scene that is traumatic in the first act was beautifully, masterfully staged.
Yeah, I'm not sure who was in charge of the special effects for that, if it was Anna or someone else, but whoever did a great job.
So what I'm hearing overall is everybody really enjoyed the show. It's kind of compelling and interesting and provocative.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if enjoyed is the right word.
That's a good point.
If you enjoyed
it,
you might have some issues of your own.
And it's so timely. I mean, there's so many incidents that happen right now in the news, that so much so that we're kind of just inundated and can't follow all of them. I think that this is an incredibly timely and important piece.
Right.
And interesting playwright. The works of his that I've seen so far, and this will be the third one that's been produced here in Richmond in the last year, all have something very relevant and timely about them. Okay. And those three works, first there was Appropriate, which was also produced by Cadence, and then Gloria, and now also that's now running at Theater Lab, The Basement, is the third work of his, which is
An Octoroon, which we're going to talk about next, actually. For this production, we've been talking about Gloria, which is a co-production of Cadence Theater and Virginia Rep at the Theater Gym through June 2nd.
Okay, so now we're going to talk about another play by that playwright that I was so intrigued by, Brandon Jacobs Jenkins. And having seen his two previous plays by him, Appropriate and Gloria, I thought I had a handle on what he was like. But then this play that's now showing at the Theater Lab, The Basement, through June 1st, called An Octoroon, is totally different than the other works.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to see this one at Woolly Mammoth in D.C. 3 years ago, and they did an unbelievably great job with it. and again, it was super powerful in my view at Theater Lab in this new production. So An Octoroon, the title, it's taken from the Dion Boucicault melodrama from the 1800s called The Octoroon. An octoroon is a person whose blood is 1/8 black. So this person, the octoroon, has one great-grandparent who's black. In the melodramas of the time, this is like the trope of the tragic mulatto. This is a girl who, oh, it's so sad that she has 1/8 black blood because now, you know, that's a stain on her and there are many things in society that she won't be able to do.
Well, legally, it was illegal for a white and a black person to marry. So that becomes the gist of the thing when she falls in love with somebody who is white. Not only that, but is the slave master. She is actually his property.
So this particular take on that story by Brandon Jacobs Jenkins, what he does is he does a whole meta thing. He does a whole Brechtian thing where he's one of the characters and the author of the original play, Dion Boucicault, is one of the characters. And then large swaths of this evening of theater are the production of this melodrama, The Octoroon, but with all kinds of interpolations and changes of point of view and things that are modern and all kinds of stuff thrown in. And to me, it was fantastic. I adored it.
And I have to say, Jamar Jones as the black playwright and Cole Metz as the original playwright were both really awesome in their roles.
Yeah, truly. I loved everybody in the cast. Jeremy Morris was fantastic. There are three black slave women who operate sometimes almost as a Greek chorus. Aja Janice, Khadijah Franks, and Trinity Pearson. They were all terrific. Juliana Casado is the title character, the octoroon. She was fantastic. Maggie Roop has a big melodramatic, I can't pay the rent, I must pay the rent almost type of role, and she was hilarious.
Trinity Pearson also did that little role of Br'er Rabbit, which was kind of creepy in a weird way.
Yeah, and Khadijah Franks as Dido did an unbelievable Butterfly McQueen spot on. Perfect.
Yes, she did.
The direction was by Dr. T, Dr. Tanya Pettiford Waits. This was an incredible job by her. There were so many things going on. She had a lot of balls in the air, and I thought she landed everything. Two of the tech things that I wanted to mention were the sound design by Kelsey Cordry, spot on perfection, and there was a lot. There was a lot of sound design for this. And then the dialects, coached by Erica Hughes, also perfection in my view.
Dr. T's work always seems to revolve around social justice issues, so there's a lot of talking points. The only thing I think that I found fault with was that there wasn't a talk back after that show that I attended, because people had questions, and race mattered. It depended on who you were, where you were in life, how you viewed it. And I spoke to several white viewers afterwards who said that they weren't sure if it was okay to laugh.
Yeah, it was designed to make everybody uncomfortable, and it succeeded.
So we've been talking about An Octoroon, written by Brandon Jacobs Jenkins, and being performed at Theater Lab The Basement through June the 1st.
Now we're mixing it up again with just Julinda and me talking about Wrong Chopped, which is playing at the Firehouse Theater through June 8th. They originally did this show back in the fall as a workshop, and now they're bringing it back as an official world premiere. What starts off as kind of a twisted spoof on the cable cooking show called Chopped deteriorates into Dada. It just kind of goes all over the place. I said, even starting with Levi Mirovich's unorthodox overture,
which was my absolute favorite part of the show.
It was fun. Well, and Levi is so funny anyway. Suddenly it goes into this theater of the absurd right at the beginning, and then it just goes all over the place.
It does. And Jerry, aren't you the person who asked me afterwards, did that make me feel old?
I did ask you that.
Yeah.
And I try not to be ageist, but the millennials in the audience were eating it up. They were laughing like crazy.
The whole row behind me were all 20-year-olds, and they never stopped laughing. As a matter of fact, they laughed so loudly that I couldn't hear some of the lines.
Right, which wasn't much of a miss. It was interesting. The cast was very committed to it. There are some very talented comic actors, Tyler Stevens, John Minks. These people have done some great work in town. They were trying, but this is such a weird show that it just doesn't work. There's even a line in the show where somebody says, this is a bad play.
And they say it more than once.
Yeah, yeah. And as we had a discussion last week on Curtain Call with the writer and director, they intentionally want it to feel sloppy and weird and uncomfortable, and it worked.
There are times when not only is it all over the place on stage, but they actually take the
all
video
the
camera
audience,
and they're in the audience. And
with
they're
the audience.
Kind of doing selfie videos with the audience members.
Yeah, I did want to mention Chandler Matkins was kind of this amusingly glum fatalist. And then Dante Pierre, he was just quirky AF. He just was all over the place. And I thought it was kind of entertaining. To me, this felt like, you know, if you watch Saturday Night Live still, usually the last sketch is just kind of like, what?
You're like, what happened? What
yeah, this is one of those where you're like, who thought this was funny? It's not traditional theater, but I think if people, maybe they like irreverent and irrational experimental stuff, and they're willing to say whatever, they might find it fun.
Obviously, there is a core group of people who did find this fun and amusing, and who am I to say that it's not for them? It's not for me.
I agree. And actually, Joel Basson, the artistic director, did mention to us that when they played it the first time, it built an audience slowly over time just because of social media.
Yeah.
The young people did come.
That it was more word of mouth, that the advertising that they did didn't seem to have much of an effect on drawing people in.
So hopefully this will do the same thing. It will appeal to the people who it should appeal to.
I hope so.
And we have been talking about Wrong Chopped, which is playing at Firehouse Theater through June 8th.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theater Critics Circle website at artsies.org.